Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, but not far away, too. Gentlemen, that is from
welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you can hear me okay. This is your Omi Inca coming at you, live coming to you with a brand new series. And that brand new series is The Buddha in You as a God, the Buddhism and the Life of a God in the Nichiren Buddhism. Now, that's what we want to talk to you about today. And I'd like to do a little test to make sure that I'm coming through okay. I may have to just hear my speakerphone off. So I'll make sure that it's coming through. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why it's necessary and most important that we should understand that we are gods and that we are to be pressing the Buddha, the Buddhahood in us, pressing that God forward. First of all, let me just lay a foundation. I wanted to speak to you about why we are looking at Buddhism as a religion of choice for the African American. And primarily, I'm focusing in on one race of people. And let me make it clear that there's only but one race. But the African Americans have been stumbling around for quite a while now, trying to decipher which religion would be appropriate for them as far as Mideasterners' religion and Westerners' religion. And one of the things that we have been talking about in this room, ladies and gentlemen, is the necessity to press the Godhead forward and to know that there's nothing greater than yourself outside of you and that the only great thing is within. And in order to find God and get to know God, you must get to know yourself. And getting to know yourself would mean that God and you would be cooperating together on one accord. Now, why the Buddha? Well, let me break it down. Recently, ladies and gentlemen, over the past 2 years, I've been toying with the Westerners' religion and whether or not we're on a path to looking at human rights like we initially were. Churches were supposed to be a place of revelation and a place of radical change, at least for the African American who had been struggling right out of slavery all the way to the point of looking at reparations for a more specific reason, for the lack of having land and the 40 acres and the mule. So as we look back over the different denominations of religion, we found that there's not a radical movement in the Christian churches or in Islamic churches or in the other denominations. And I have not seen anyone since Dr. Martin Luther King stand up and said, let us go downtown and get our check and mean it from the bottom of their heart to the point that he laid his life on the line. I haven't seen a radical movement like that. And every church stands for change. And if there's no radical movement there, then the church is dead. I say the Christian churches have fizzled out. They no longer want to get their hands dirty or take a defense on any radical position because it will possibly cause them to have to choose and to lose their funding. So therefore, most of our Christian churches are not rattling any cages. So are they good for the Christian? And are they good for the African American? And should we look at what we can do in a way of human rights and make the church more like a business? And I want to say this much to you people. Church is a business. And if you don't join it for radical reasons or for political reasons or economic reasons, then you're joining it for all the romantic reasons together. If you're just looking at how romanticized you will be, how spiritual you'll be, and you're going to be hurt and in for a lot of trouble. You join a church because it's a membership and it's a business. And you look at various different churches and see what type of business plan they have and what is their mission, what is their goals and objectives, and what are they trying to accomplish on this earth and plane. So, therefore, I did a lot of soul searching in the last 2 years about where I really and actually belong. Now, most of you know that I definitely hurled myself out to be in the African race and functioning with the Yoruba people and also utilizing the lifestyle. Now, I had to assess all of that, too. Most of you notice I took the priestess off my name because I could not honor up to that in the Midwest because being a priestess is all-encompassed, and it would take you living over in Africa to function on that plane 24/7. And you'd be lucky if you found enough people to round up to have your ritualistic programs. And most of the people have decided to go their own ways and practice independently on their own. So you don't have a quorum, so to speak, do you, Omi? No. You don't have a support group. You don't have that tribe that I've been looking for. So when you're still looking for something and you're not satisfied, you don't get content with it and stay there. You keep perfecting and keep looking. Well, I kept looking, ladies and gentlemen, because as a priestess, you can't practice by yourself. So I laid down my priest hat, and I laid down the rituals that I was looking at because they were all-consuming and so time-consuming that you didn't have a life and a time for prayer. So after laying it down over a year, I did some soul-searching. I began to start to visit other non-denominational churches, and other churches outside of Christianity, Mideasterners, of course. And I found that Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism was a fit for me, primarily because I was looking for radical change. I was also looking for the humanism of looking at how to eliminate suffering in mankind in general. And that is the ultimate purpose for seeking out a denomination, is to end suffering for all mankind and to bring about happiness. How many of you want to be happy? Really happy? You know when that brother made that song, Be Happy? That song became a number one song on the charts. Everyone wants to be happy. It is your inalienable right to want to be happy. And you must strive with all your might and all your soul and all your heart to be happy. Because ultimately, material things will fizzle out, and you will store them where moths can get to them, and you will find that your happiness is a short-lived end as long as your materials last out. So I began to realize I was seeking something that was not associated with materialism, but pure happiness within myself, like fire shut up in your bone, like a ratified energy shut up in your bone that you couldn't contain. I began to look to see if the brother down the street and the sister around the corner was satisfied and that they were happy too, because I know their happiness was predicated upon my happiness, and we all work together in making sure that we're happy and satisfied, because if the person around the corner was suffering and had no food to eat, then ultimately the whole neighborhood would suffer for it. And that's the kind of unity I was used to. And I was looking for that kind of unity. And there once was a time when the churches had it like that. When you came to church, they had a chicken, somebody had the flour, somebody had the grease, and somebody had potato salad, and somebody had the baked beans, and somebody had a loaf of bread, then we had a meal. And nobody was asking to collect anything. Everyone ate. And that's the way it's supposed to be, a communal lifestyle. And that's all I was looking for, ladies and gentlemen, a communal lifestyle, which I once thought I had found in the Yoruba teaching, which I once thought that would go on forever and ever and ever. Amen. But what happens between small groups is unheard of. The quarrelsome, the disagreements, and taking your eyes off the focus and the goal and looking at the individualistic aspect of it will take you away from a communal living. It's so all-consuming to do the rituals in the first place that you almost have to pinpoint a day that you are going to focus on prayer. I came into the faith because I was looking for a life of prayer, a life of prayer and connecting with my higher self. Now, I say my higher self because I no longer say connecting with the God out there somewhere. I say connecting with my higher self within me to stir up the Ori that was placed on my head so that I and Ori can get the credit for what we do cooperatively together. Now, I want to stress how important it is to you as an African-American to have a relationship with yourself. Why don't you go and introduce yourself to yourself by reflecting in the mirror? If you're really trying to look for God, you will find him, she, or it there. That is all the God you will ever see because the God lives within you. That's why I've been trying to get you to wake up. I've been trying to introduce you to yourself. And all this year, I've been talking about reawakening the God that's within you. Now I'm going to introduce you to Buddhism. Now, I'm not blaspheming, and Christians, for you who might say she's blaspheming, no, I might even introduce you and your family to something that you may have been seeking for or looking for and have not found that in Christianity. Now, some might even say that they shied away from Christianity because it was used to contain us during slavery, and it might still be used to contain us while we are so-called free. But we must look for universal religions that will be universal for all mankind, all races of people, all creeds, all conscientious objectors, all misfits, everyone that can fit in, that is looking to live righteous and live by a set of perpetual rules and be on a path. Now, the thing that I had with Christianity, when we come to the New Testament and we say that the Old Testament we put away because we're no longer held and bound by the letter of the law, because in the New Testament, Jesus so-called brought you grace and mercy, and he was the ultimate mercy seat, you say, so that he will put everything under the blood, and all you need to do is repent and go to Jesus and tell Jesus how you repent, and it's all under the blood, and you can keep on going and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. There's no perfection there. Africans perfect. And if it means leaving one religion, going to the next religion, if it causes you to perfect in your relationship with your higher self, and developing your consciousness to the point where you're more sensitive to the needs and cries of those that are outside of the will of God. or those that are in need of assistance and need of a physician. There are many people suffering now more than ever before, and most of you who say you love God are very should be very sensitive to suffering and the cries of the people. You should be very sensitive to those who are yet blinded and can't see, and those who are still deaf and cannot hear, and those who are wayward, without clothes, and are sick with palsy. You should be very sensitive to those people that you meet on the street every day and have a need to eliminate their suffering and bring about happiness in their life. Now, Buddha set a path. Now, Buddhism and Buddhahood is a way of life. It is not a religion, I believe. I believe it's a way of life and a practice that you can use for gauging if you're in the middle path, not too far to the left, not too far to the right, but going down the middle way. And Buddhism has a tendency to teach you the love for your brothers and sisters, something common and basic, nothing broad, not, you don't have to decipher all those scriptures to figure out how to treat your brother and sister. You know through instinct, treat people the way you want to be treated. And love yourself with all your soul and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Why do you love yourself? Are you the temple? Must the temple be clean and governed and managed at all times? Yes. And people are falling along the wayside. They are not governing their temple. They're putting every and anything in the temple. They're tearing the temple down. They're toxifying, making their temple become toxic instead of detoxifying it, and they're breaking it down under every minute thing with a lack of sleep and a lack of proper food, and what they're putting in their mind is astronomically bad as well. So the temple cannot be a place of dwelling for such a high priest as the God. So what do we have to do? We have to eliminate those things that beset us that will destroy the temple. Because even though Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, I'll build it up in 3 days, we're talking about the body, the temple, where the Buddhahood lives. The scroll of the Buddhahood is called the Gahansa. Say that with me, Gahansa. That Gahansa represents the life of the Buddha, the Buddhahood, which you cannot look at outside of yourself, but you internalize that and take that scroll and it becomes your life. As it becomes your life, you begin to measure your life up against the path that Buddha took. And you want to stay on that path because each day you go through something called karma. Say that with me, karma. That's not to say that you're going to wait to the end when Armageddon comes and the rapture comes, and then that's when you're going to line up and be measured for your deeds. No, you are measured for your deeds on a daily basis. And the reason we have karma is to eliminate the abstract things that you've done knowingly that are sinful, that karma can be used now to erase the judgment that might come down the road. That karma will mean that you have an opportunity to clear some of those issues off your slate. Karma is things that you have done that will come back to haunt you. But at the same time, you get an opportunity in Buddha, in Buddhism, to look at yourself, reverse those problems, or those habits, and correct yourself so that when the end time comes for you to make your transition, you would have already erased those things that you were being held accountable for through going back making a proper correction. Now, rightly guided and on a fivefold path was very, very becoming to me. Because in all things, we want to be rightly guided and on a path, not a path of destruction, but a path, to Buddhahood. Now, the Nichean Daishonin sect of Buddhism came from the first original Buddha who was a black man. Now, I'm not going to sit here and teach you a lesson on whether he was Caucasian, black, Hispanic. That's not the important thing. But those of you who are African-American men who are looking for a man you can follow, look after the Buddha, the original Buddha, and see the path that he laid for you. Because so many of our African-American men have fell along the wayside because they don't want a man telling them what to do. They're their own man, and they feel that they can lay the path themselves. But we all need a little help. We all can look at the benefit of someone else who laid a path to eliminate suffering. If you can bring a plan to eliminate suffering in the hood, then you get the great prize of all times. Of all times. Because there's so much suffering going on in the hood right now. Suffering because they don't have a job. Suffering because the old lady and their man don't get along no more. They don't love each other. Suffering because the children are not doing so good in school. Suffering because there's not enough money to make ends meet. Suffering because there is not enough food anymore because they've taken the food stamps away. Suffering because mama got to go to work and she needs to stay home with that infant. Suffering because that child is being taken out of the home because mother has lost her way and don't remember how to chastise that infant anymore, and so she uses a strap to him, and then the child gets taken away. Now, that's dukkha. We call suffering dukkha. Dukkha because of the things we do, we bring on suffering. So how might we bring on suffering? And why are we the cause? Because what you say creates itself in the universe. Whatever comes to you in your life, you have called it there. Whatever you have going on in your life is a lesson that you must learn. And you keep repeating that lesson until you have accomplished and mastered it. So we have control over our lives, you say, Omi. Yes, we do. We are the masters of our ship. And it's high time you took the steering wheel and took control over it and quit talking about, but that devil, he got that transformed, and he won't make me do something. The devil made me do it. It's high time you put the devil under your feet or say, get behind me, is the only words that your master, Jesus Christ, put the devil was behind him. And the devil only exists when you create it out of your flesh. Whenever you speak of good, you automatically have spoken of evil. They exist in duality. But you have the power not to empower a force of evil, but you can empower a force of good and of love, kindness, long-suffering, temperament, the Beatitudes. Where did they go? We got so broad in our teaching in the church that we really bypass all the simplicity of just being kind, gentle, long-suffering, patient, caring. We lost all those things. Now we got to make it easy. Now I got time to make it pretty for you because I got to jump on this thing myself with both feet because I need it just like you do. And I need it like yesterday. We put all these cliches and beautified and talking about abundance and abundance and abundance and abundance. We got so much abundance. Now we are stockpiling stuff and we become hoarders of everything and collectors of everything. The simple things we do not have in our collection, a peace of mind. Where did it go? The average person is suffering from excessive amount of everything. Excessive amount of everything could be the cause of a lot of our mental illness. having a space where we can see our ways plain and clear will give us the ability to think through things and see ourselves getting through something. But we've got to get back to the basics of simplicity, of the Buddhahood living on the inside of us, the Buddhahood coming forward, knowing that this Buddha had laid a path for us of righteousness and reciprocity, looking through the community, seeing who he can lift up, his brother or sister, or seeing who he can guide in the right direction. Buddha left us with a plan and a path, and it's been written down so neatly, anyone could pick it up and read it. You don't have to join anything. Your membership is within yourself. And when you take on the chanting, this chanting reunites you to the universe so that your benefit of your prayers are stronger and powerful and your ancestors connect with you. Yes, Buddhahood is a bit of Africanism as well. I might as well go ahead and say that for those of you who are African collectives, eclectics. I was one too. I thought everything had to be African. There was anything. But I had to be standing corrected that there is something else that we could have looked at that would have given us a plain and simple way of fellowshipping and having a path for our life to keep our communities together and keep down the bureaucracy and the anger and the fighting and the inlays of persecution of ourselves and how we care to assassinate ourselves, not knowing that when we hurt our brother, we hurt ourselves. When I look in the mirror, it's a mere reflection of God looking back at me. Now I know that God and I share in the likeness, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. That's what Jesus was trying to tell you. I and the Father are one because God exists within me, and he exists within you and you and you and you. Don't look for God anywhere else outside of yourself. Stop looking for that spook God, because that spook God will never come. And Elijah has already come in a prior generation. It has already been fulfilled. Elijah has come and gone. So the only God you're going to find is the one within you that you must stir up the gifts so that the Godhead will come forward. I want you to look for Buddha. I want you to take some time studying Buddhism and what practicality it has and the missions that they have planned to unite nations of people from Japanese to Chinese, Hispanic to Turkish. All of the nations of people come together. This is not just a black man's religion, and it's not just a Caucasian religion. It's a people's religion, and it opens up its doors to all suffering. And the prerequisite for coming together is to have a desire to end suffering and to have a path that you want to follow, that it's a fivefold path, and following that path and knowing that there are many worlds of suffering, knowing that there are many worlds of hell, and hell is a figment of the imagination. It is in the mind. There's no place out there somewhere called hell. Hell can be here on this earth and in your life at any given time, and so can heaven. And you can take yourself there anytime you want. It is not just a physical place, but it is a frame of mind. Now let's get our frames of minds together as we reference together when we unite in our chant. Nami Imhum Re K.O. Nami Imhum Re K.O. is a chant that we do, and that chant lines up the universe together as we pull together and chant together. That chant is powerful and carries vibrational tones with it. Even though we are speaking in the Peshear and Japanese and Chinese language, we also insert our own original prayer in between that. And that original prayer is for our ancestors, each and every one we identify with. So once again, here Africans, we're inserting the ancestors, something that we hold so near and dear to us. We hold the water because the water is used for that thing that is neutral. Water knows no enemy. It is stable. And that is also incorporated just like the Africans do, except they pour their water to the ground in a libation. We must be able to turn over these rituals for the ones that are more embraceable. Some of the things that we did in rituals were very, very difficult to hide, and there were secret societies, and it was shameful. And some people walked around feeling low in their spirit as an African because it was shame of the rituals that we had to carry out. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to feel like everything requires a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice not to have communion with your brother and sister. And when you look outside to find someone to fellowship with, they're all privately, secretly in their own homes. Well, then I had to break that barrier, and I had to come away from that secretly practicing and decided to commune with brothers and sisters on one accord so we can have strength and fellowship in numbers. It's very vital that you should take a look at where you can travel from here, from henceforward, and what you can do in this world to make people's life a little bit easier and to make your life simultaneously easier and have a happy, harmonious community. I'm striving for happy, harmonious communities right here in Gary, Indiana, the murder capital of the world, where the Buddhism are beginning to gain numbers here. I believe we can change this climate. I believe we can change our history and our prior history and the history that besets us with the life of Buddha, with the new process that Buddha has laid in a path for all mankind. Every man is your brother, and seeing that you can bring joy in their life. For those who don't want to act right, you have to just lay the laws down to them. This racism stuff is going to have to cease because you cannot practice it and still say you're Buddhist. You cannot practice racism and say you're Buddhist. If you do, you must be chastened and chastised, and dukkha must come upon you. Sometimes we have to take the religion and use it to correct those who need correcting. Why stay in a religion where you don't have to address or confront somebody about their racism? Be in a religion where it's not called for, is not tolerated, then you can point it out and address it more easily because you have the word to back you up, the daily word. That's why we go along with the daily word, not a Bible like King James Version, not a book that we got from the New Testament or some man got inspired, but a daily guide in the life of President Ikoda. Understanding what he did to make this organization strong as it is, and reading about his past, also reading about the prior history of the priests that were removed, that were part of the Buddhahood as well. So it's a lot to learn, even the language and the chanting. It's a lot to learn in the language. And in the language and the cosmosis of the language, sometimes there exists racism and prejudice because of the language. However, in this case sharing that we're learning, this language, we can insert our own language in there for our prayers. But I want you to know one thing. Making a conversion and receiving the Gahanza like I just did. And I plan to bring a lot of other people with me. I won't ever stop being black. Now, I'm not going to be jaded and turned overnight. I am going to be an African-American to the day I die. This I do know, and nothing is certain but death. So I will take this Nubian black skin tone with me to the grave. So I'm not going to be jaded. So I will still need things in my surroundings that will assist me in being an African American with culturally enriched rituals that will help strengthen me as a black woman. It's very vital that we don't become something and now we're trying to act out like we are other races of people. We must maintain our culture, who we are, and carry this culture in with the practices of Buddhahood and make it practical for our time. So I'm saying to you as an African American, you don't have a church home, you don't have a place you can worship, you don't have a group of people that you can fellowship with. Look towards the Buddha, the Nichiren Daishonin Buddhahood. Look towards fellowshipping with brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora that are Buddhists, and they come together through the culture center, and they unite, and they become with one voice, one aim, and one purpose. And that's how it has to be. We all have to be on one accord, heading towards the accomplishment of eliminating suffering. Africans believe that Ifa was going to mend our broken hearts. The same thing that the Buddhists believe, that Buddha was going to mend the world's broken hearts. Now, if you are one of those who has empathy and cannot stand to see others suffer, you are Buddhist, like it or not, because that's what the Buddhahood was. He did not want to see anyone suffering, and he set out to eliminate suffering. And if you see suffering going on in your community and you want to set out to eliminate suffering, come on and become a part of the study groups. Learn what you can do in the community to practice Buddhahood. It is a practice and a way of life. And all of us should be trying to chain and channel our lives to cut down on some of the frustration and disharmony in our communities. There's more infliction being put on us in our own communities by people that look just like us. And we've got to eliminate that. We've got to eliminate the hating and the brutal beatings and killings and shootings that we do to ourselves. And we've got to remember that we are God. We are God, little children, and we have overcome them. And the Buddha head is in us that we need to push forward, because karma will come back and you will have to reap what you sow. And we don't have to whip your